UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Hi there. Welcome to another hour of the V Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. I said, what exactly started this tirade? It is kind of a tirade, but I just don't get it. I mean, although, you know, I was talking to Diener. Did you start your phone over your shoulder?
Yeah, because all my electronics were just mother truckers.
Why would you throw your phone?
Because I'm mad at it, and it has a case and insurance.
It was a bit disconcerting. I'm starting to talk, and all of a sudden, is flying $600. Well,
because I couldn't find the page I opened. I just wanted to add the nugget in the new AP poll that UK was 10 and Louisville was 11.
You couldn't find
and
the damn thing.
I couldn't. And I knew if I guessed, even though I was 80% sure, I would screw it up, and someone justifiably on a one bounce would be like, "Yeah, UK 7, Kentucky's 9. You just love Louisville, man." And then I would be all pissed off. So I couldn't find it. I was trying to find the damn button. I had the wrong SportsCenter clip pulled up. I meant to go grab help, but I kind of ran out of time. It showed up.
Assuming I was down the hall when I was literally right outside the door. You opened the door, screamed at the top of your lungs, "Hey!" And you were, I don't know, 6-7 inches from my ear.
I seriously did not. That was perfect timing. You walked in that little blind spot right as I went out there. So yeah, my bad on that. I didn't mean to scream in your ear. Sorry.
I can't hear you.
Oh, by the way, me
tonight. Meh. Sorry, go ahead.
Meanwhile, during my SportsCenter,
back at the ranch,
if you listen carefully, I was trying to open something on my iPad. I don't know why my iPad does this. It puts the little frequently used icons in the corner, and then if you hit it, it doesn't turn on. Oh, of course, it goes right there. But half the time, it doesn't work, and I'm feverishly hitting it, and I don't know. Somehow, I've turned the Siri on my cell phone. So I'm reading my iPad.
She's talking to?
And it's like, what can I help with? And it took every bit of me not to say, go blank yourself, Siri, on the air.
I don't think she likes when you do
that. I always feel bad because Siri, people always yell at Siri and Alexa and everything like that. Siri just popped up on my iPad again. So it was just...
Here's a great text to respond to. These are worthwhile. Okay. Oh, man, we get all sorts of people. Does the intern know about my prep? State your business?
Cause he doesn't. Okay. Process was just coming in to say goodbye. Oh, you know
what,
about...
What the hell are you doing? Just sauntering in as if it's a bus terminal. What is that exactly? Does he have any business?
Not sure he has any business.
Well, what the hell are you doing?
Do you have a nickname yet, intern Jonathan?
Wait on it.
All right. He's still waiting. Maybe that could be his intern Derrick Henry? I don't know, because he just kind of punched through there.
That. I'm a Lamar fan. Don't
okay. All right, he's a Lamar fan. So what is your
Nick just said Lamar and the Ravens lost to the Ravens.
No, I said the Titans.
No, the guy says you said they lost to the Ravens. You're an idiot. You don't know anything about sports. You suck. The whole station sucks. The world sucks. The country's terrible. Chris Mack's terrible. I'm the only one who knows anything.
I don't think I said Ravens to Ravens. Who knows?
So
maybe
what?
I did. No, that sounds like something I would do. I'm going to totally backtrack all over that thing. But do you have any business?
No.
My business here to show y'all up, even though y'all got ears on me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Show you all up.
Well, he wants to. He's got something to prove. A lot of the interns come
I'll
in.
I'll prove. Well, you know, I'm going to prove that this is my show. Get your ass out of my control room. I don't need anybody in a competition with me. Who the hell does he think he is? The hell is that?
He's full of moxie and spirit.
Yeah, I don't like moxie. Get the hell out of my control room.
Actually, it's my control. These are my buttons.
The hell is that? I'm not in competition with an intern. There's enough asshats around here. Got to be in competition with an intern now. What is that?
He said he's been waiting to get roasted by you his whole life.
Well, you just you pushed the right button there. What is that? The intern told you to take your business and shove it. Well, you see, that's a dangerous game to play when you're an unpaid intern and the other guy's actually on the staff, because generally what that winds up with is a good, healthy chair in part of your anatomy where it doesn't belong. I'm just saying. I'm just pointing that out. Part of your education.
We talked about this. Please don't assault the interns, Dad.
Let's see. This is the text that's worthy of a response. Bob, why gravitate to the most negative Nancys on the text line every day? Don't know if they're even really U of L fans. They're just trying to stir it up. Okay, I've heard that before, but I'll come back to that. In attempt to pivot here, my objective question for the day is, how does the team improve its perimeter defense? See, this is a legitimate question, but here's the problem. Oh, a texter just gave you a name. It's intern asshat. I like the way you think, listener. Oh, it's quality entertainment there, sir. Thank you for amusing the host.
He said, great. Can't wait.
Yeah, all right. The guy knew I was channeling my inner Ed Asner in Mary Tyler Moore. Kid, you've got spunk. I hate spunk. But anyway, I digress.
By the way, our boy Taylor Lynch texting in. You did say the Ravens lost to the Ravens.
Yeah, of course you did. I mean, nobody would make that up.
He also said, just quit, walk out now.
Yeah,
exactly. Let no-name intern run the show.
That's it. He'll do it. He'd never make that mistake. You kidding me? What, are you kidding me? He's here.
Just hang him up.
All right.
I'm taking this microphone, though.
All right. Well, here's the thing that I would like to eventually answer the question. The question was, how do they improve their perimeter defense? See, here's the problem with that. What's the word I'm looking for here? I don't want to be too inflammatory, but it does irk me. If you've only got one or two games in the books, then you can say, okay, well, why are you quoting numbers? That's legitimate. But the fact of the matter is, Louisville's defense, I guess, could get better, but have you seen what their numbers are? They are giving up, where's my game sheet, my game note, my game sheet for yesterday where we put all the data in it. They're giving up like 36% shooting. I mean, so how can it get better? The question should be, how can they maintain that high level of defense? They're playing very good defense. That's the whole point. So, I don't want to be Pollyanna. They're not perfect. They got some flaws. But when things take on a life of their own among the crazy text lines, that's when it irritates me. Because the fact of the matter is, would I play just one defense? I never played the pack line as a player. I never coached it. I've learned about it just because of, teams playing it, most notably Tony Bennett, and now watching Chris play it. But doesn't mean, who cares? But my point is, it's not like I'm rooting for this guy to win with the pack line because I was committed to it when I coached. Where do you think you're going? Where are you going?
Two things. One, to pick up my phone, which I fired across the room. And two, I have to state some business with Andy because I just found out I'm off tonight.
So what?
So I might be on the ones and twos for the championship game.
So you had to do that right this very second?
Because I'm like a goldfish, man. I will forget.
You are shiny object. See the object, grab the object. We're in the middle of the show here.
You're a big boy.
You know what I just realized? I think my insurance payments do. Oh, do I have to stay here?
I thought you were really going
to
go.
What now? Was I supposed to stay? I'm sorry. I misunderstood that. Because I thought it is due. You got to pay it. I mean, if you don't pay it, you don't have insurance.
I thought, are you on mom's insurance?
No.
I thought we were all like on some group thing.
No, you really, I don't know what cold.
That's the one I'm on. Because mom was always like, yo, you got to pay
me. People could not, literally could not care less. It'd be impossible for them to care less about whose insurance you're on. Seriously. Try and find a topic they would care less about than whose insurance you're on. We'll maybe what deodorant the intern
that uses. Tony D'Angelo is really,
by the way, I got
on,
bad news.
It's going to cause some cap problems for the Rangers.
I've got really bad news for the intern. He's officially spunky. Oh, he's got to be spunky. He's got spunk. Spunky is both.
I like that. Intern spunky.
That is exactly, because it's a bit insulting, which every intern's nickname has to be, but it's not politically incorrect. And he said he had the spunk to do it. So, There you go. Bob Texter says you want to know how to save 15% on your auto insurance. Now, but the point is, when things get on the text line, they take a life of their own, and that's what I have an issue with. There's some element of truth. Joe Crispin played the game at a high level. He knows what he's talking about. But now that's the talk. Now they're going to have to be dealing with that. Now we're going to have to be dealing with this team doesn't play with any heart. He didn't say that. Or if he did, I would respectfully disagree. Well, he said that, you know, they're not showing as much emotion as he'd like to see. Well, that's a left-handed compliment. He thinks they're really good and they should be winning by more. And fans, my God. What's amazing to me, by the way, is that fans can keep those two thoughts in their head at the same time. The two thoughts being, as Richard Pitino says, and it's so true, all fans hate their own players. They were getting ready when Louisville was getting ready to play Michigan State in the NCAA tournament that year, and they had Draymond Green and everything, and Richard was talking about, oh, they're so good, Draymond Green and this and that. And Paul said, well, you know, you got some pretty good players too. And Richard said, yeah, but everybody hates their own players. You know, and so the point is, there's some element of truth to that. Everybody hates their own place. It's kind of like being married. That's the familiarity breeds contempt. No, they do. I mean, that's why.
So you're going to be sleeping on the couch.
That's what's new. So I mean, there's that. But the fact of the matter is, then after you say that, they all want to know why aren't we winning the championship? Well, if you just got through finding all these flaws with the players, then it's disifying, absolutely disifying. So I try and deal with the numbers, and the numbers say that Louisville's statistics are pretty damn good, including defensively. Their defensive field goal percentage is very, very good. Let's see if I can find this here. Show the totals. That's not the right one I want. Well, I'll see if I can find it here. You know what? All you got to do is go to the damn website for the team, gocards.com, and you find it in 2 seconds. So, because if you go to the other ones like the ESPN site and everything, they tend to give you a very simplified statistical breakdown, and you don't want that. You want, you know, it tells you what the team is shooting or whatever. It doesn't have any defensive stuff and everything like that. So here we go. Here's the stats. The stats are as follows. Open that up. Thank you. And they are shooting. And why is this important, by the way? Let me tell you. Because, again, it's okay if you said, boy, if I had my own team, I wouldn't make as big deal about that. Great. You know, I mean, that's fine. Roy Williams, his great teams, it is all about how fast they play. You can't play fast enough for Roy. And it goes back to Dean Smith. Dean would say, if we're not making a lot of turnovers in the early part of the season, I don't think we're doing our break right, because for us to go fast, we should be going faster than is comfortable for us. And if you're going faster than is comfortable, you're going to make some mistakes. So I expect to make mistakes early, and I expect to cut those down. And you could say, I would never do it that way. That's fine. But the point is, what is the guy trying to do, and is he meeting that objective? Chris Mack's entire defensive philosophy is predicated on, much like everybody plays the pack line, defensive field goal percentage relative to your offensive field goal percentage, which means you do some things. You try and challenge three-point shots. You try and not give up fast break points. And when you get the ball, you try to get good shots. I mean, these numbers, they are shooting 46% as a team. They're giving up 36% as a team. That's a wild, wildly successful set of numbers. Three-point field goals, they shoot 37%. They're giving up for their opponents 29%. I mean, that is exactly what he's trying to do. So if you said, hey, boy, I wish they would press more. Okay, that's a fair, just because that's a matter of taste. You can't argue about somebody. If I coach the team, I like to see them press. But you say to yourself, if you're doing true analysis, why is he doing what he's doing? That's what drives me crazy. And so much of the criticism ignores that, just ignores it. Why is Ryan McMahon averaging 28 minutes a game? Because he has made 37 three-point field goals. The rest of the guards put together have made 19. The other three guards put together have made roughly half of what Ryan's made. He's made 37. They've made 19. If you're going to stretch the defense, and he still, for all the talk, he can't do this, he can't do that, he's shooting 44% from the three. Darius shoots 35. Fresh shoots 23. David Johnson shoots 28. So, I mean, so the fact of the matter is he plays him those minutes because if your goal is to stretch the defense, and if I were him, I would want room for Enoch to have to operate on the inside. Why? He's your leading second leading scorer. He's averaged 11 points a game. I would want Jordan to have all sorts of room to come off those curls and have some mid-range shots, which he's very capable of doing. Well, then I need that guy out there to spread the defense. So, I understand your point, but it doesn't really – it's not persuasive in any way. Statistics represented accumulated average. I didn't get that. A guy who made one punt for 87 yards and another one for 17 yards – you know, is going to be averaging 54 yards a punt, even though neither of those punts was within 30 yards of his average. One was 87, one was 14. So it's the same thing. So I get it. You know, you it's a 33%, you hold one team to 17%, another team to whatever it is, 50-something, it'll wind up in the 40s. But the fact of the matter is when you get this many games, it tends to level out a little bit. And, you know, it also means that if you are going to be the guy who says, see, it sucks because they gave a 57% shooting, then somebody could fire back at you, yeah, but they gave up 17% shooting in another game. So it doesn't really alter the fact that if you're going to be critical, you've got to look at the numbers. You do. Now, having said that, because Nick asked this earlier and I got my back up because it just seems to be such a simple question. Why do they have such trouble with, you know, teams like Florida State? A big, long, athletic team. Because you know why? Because everybody has trouble with Florida State. Florida State is bugging the snot out of everybody. Because they're long, and they're deep, and they play hard, and they get in your grill. And if you haven't noticed, they're in the top 10 in the country. Aren't they? Where are they? Aren't they in the top 10?
I think they are. Yes. I think they're 9.
That's what I'm saying. So why? Well, there's a radical thought. They're having more trouble playing against teams that are in the top 7 than they are against teams that are in the top 200. Wow. How do you explain that? Well, maybe because that team in the top 7 is a lot better.
They're not top 10.
What are they?
They are.
They're top 20, though, right?
Did I miss them? Maybe I missed them. Oh, no, they are. Yeah, okay, I thought I was right. Yeah, they are. They're 9th. They're 9th.
Yeah, I thought they were, because Louisville was the 3rd of the 3 teams in that list. It was Duke and Florida State and then Louisville. Duke is 3, Florida State's 9, and Louisville's 11. So that's why. That's why they're having a little bit of trouble with them, because they're really good. So, I mean, what'd Spunky say?
He said intern Moxie. Spunky?
Spunky. Moxie's not insulting enough. It's got to be a tad bit insulting, especially when he came in, looked like he was going to be in competition with everybody. Wow. Let's see. I think the effort is more of one of consistency. Okay, let's get into that. See, that to me, there's some meat on the bone with that. You know, when they look very, very good and when fans say, oh, they're really going, is when they are able to run. When are you able to run? When you get stops. And when they don't get stops, the game tends to be what for you offensively? A half-court game. And in the half-court, it looks a lot more laborious because it is. It's 10 passes, 8 passes, a bunch of cuts, some grinding, some bumping, all that. You get the break, they got guys who can fly, man. Sutton can – I mean, you heard – if you didn't hear the text, the press conference earlier, that's why I'm not down on this team. Because
we have sound from that, by the way.
Sutton,
I cut it.
Sutton told Ryan, evidently, and by the way, Chris told me this also, which I think is great coaching. I really do. He said, because he's, you know, he gets it too. I said, hey, you turned Ryan. I was kidding him after the game. This was in the press, the interview that we did for the air. I said, yo, you turned Ryan into the mad driver. And he smiled. He said, no. He said, you know what? When there's a 3 there, he still has to shoot it. That's who we are. That's who he is. That's what he needs to do. He's able to get some drives to the basket against this team because they're not especially big and they don't have great size and athleticism across the front. He knows it. Ryan knows it. He knows it. But it doesn't mean he doesn't want him to be a multifaceted player. He does. But the fact of the matter is you do what makes you good. And what makes him good is 44% three-point shooting. So he gets open looks. He needs to shoot it. And Ryan said that Sutton told him, listen, man, we get in the break. He said, I'm either going to – you get down the floor. Because if you do, I'm going to look for you. I'm going to find you and try and get your shot in transition. And if I'm not the one bringing the ball up the floor, I'm going to come screen for you. That's good basketball. That's why I love Sutton so much. That's why he's a coach's dream. That's a guy who gets it. We need this guy to make some perimeter shots for us. Well, let's help him. Let's see if we can help him do that. And we're best when we run. So that's an unselfish player. He wasn't talking about, let me get mine. Let me see how I get my shots. Hey, why don't you throw it to me? It's like, I'll get it down the floor, and I'll find you. And they have guys. He can push the ball up the floor. Jordan is capable of pushing up the floor. Darius is the best of the bunch at it. The guards, all four of the guards, can bring it up the floor quickly. So they got guys who can get it out on the break and go. And that's when they look good. But when they don't get some stops, then that happens. If you do my little dice analogy, if they're getting stops, what is it, 63% of the time, that would be like a dice roll, 1 through 4, you're successful. Well, there's going to be a couple of times if you rolled the dice, you'd get a 5 and a 6 and a 5. It happens. And then you got to play through that. I mean, that's what basketball comes down to. It is trying to tip the scales in your favor, and that's the toughness he's talking about. See, that's the other thing that I think people misinterpret. It's not talking about going and punching a guy in the face, even though some fans would love to see that. It's about how, okay, hey, things didn't go well for us these last two possessions. Oh, man, how now do we get the thing back on track? If you have a mental toughness, you say to yourself, that's why he's always talking about players have to figure it out. Because what a tough player does is say, this is who we are. This is how we play. We had a couple of possessions. We didn't get it done. I'm going to find a way to get it done on this possession. Not like, well, it didn't work the last two possessions. Screw that. Let's go try and do our own thing. That's what he's talking about. And I couldn't agree with him more. And it really is, you know, and it's interesting because to me, I was thinking about this as I came in, and it relates to Louisville, but it also relates to Lamar. And I feel so bad for Lamar. But, you know, the haters are out in droves, of course, and they're going to have to deal with that. But the fact of the matter is, I talk all the time, did they choke? Let's talk about that. Because the big games, did they choke? I got to thinking, they certainly didn't play the way they normally play. And my definition of a choke is when you don't trust who you are is going to be good enough to win the game, and all of a sudden you're kind of making stuff up. I have to tell you, I don't think by definition that's a choke then. Because Baltimore did what they do. Lamar ran for over 100 yards. He ran
for 143 or something like that. Because he had over 500 all-purpose.
He ran for 143 with a 7.2 average, and he threw for 365. Okay? So the way they were trying to play was the way is consistent with the way they play. You know what they did? But there's another element that's not choking. People, I think, confused. This is just my opinion. Now, there's no scientific data for this. I think people, they throw the word choke around too much to me, because to me a choke is when you don't have that toughness that Chris is talking about, and you're trying now to play a way that you don't play. Baltimore's trying to do what they did all year. They just didn't do it. So why didn't they do it? You mean the impact, the importance of the game was not a factor? It was. I think there's a difference between choking and pressing, and they were pressing. They got down early. They weren't used to being down. I think, to be honest with you, Lamar did himself a great disservice. He was pointing to this game for a calendar year, and everybody was pointing to it, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, the game starts, and they get down, and they're not used to being there. And then guys can't catch the ball. Guys are wide open. They're not catching it. He misses an open receiver. They just looked like they were pressing. They weren't not choking, because they were doing the things strategically, trusting that what they normally do was going to be good enough. But contrast that with Kansas City, for example. Here's a perfect example. Kansas City got down 24-0 and just said, do what we do. Let's just do what we do. You know what? We score a lot of points. Let's do what we do. And they did what they did, and they won the way they usually win, and they went on. Baltimore didn't do that. They pressed. So if you want to fault them, and Lamar has to take some role in that. You know, he's the leader, and that whole big trust thing. I love the guy, and it hurt me to see him to lose that way because, you know, I said on Friday's show, it's very rare that the chalk wins all four games in the NFL, but the one game that you didn't think was going to be the one that upset the apple cart was their game. They're the only ones that lost at home as the overall one seed, and now things are completely up in the air. But I don't think it was a choke. I think it was a press, and they started pressing. And that is, that's one of the things I look at is Louisville had some guys who were pressing. I think that, you know, confidence is an unbelievable thing. It really is. Jordan was pressing so much. Not Jordan. I mean, Ryan was pressing so much he couldn't, you know, throw it in the ocean. And, whoa. That explains a lot of things. I can't get into that in the air. On the air. Did you see the?
I'm not going to read it. But
the text. Look at the picture of what somebody just texted us. I was wondering what that was all about.
Don't see none.
All right.
But I don't
want to get into it. Yeah, but anyway, but the point being, you know, and that's, you can say to coaches, oh, well, give them confidence. You can't give a player confidence. Confidence comes about from successful performance under pressure. And, I mean, Sutton looked like he couldn't throw it anywhere and you know, make anything. And then all of a sudden he hit that big three. And it looked like the confidence just came oozing out and made another one later. And I swear, as I said, if they played that game for another 3 hours, I think he'd have made 10 more. Ryan couldn't make anything, and then all of a sudden he makes one, and bang, now he's made a whole bunch. So, but, you know, that's what you do as a coach, and it's hard sometimes because fans like, he sucks, get him out, don't play him, change everything. If you, that's your best chance to win, you take the verbal hits, and you have to make an adjustment, and you tell your players, look, you got to find a way. We're counting on you to get from A to B. You haven't been able to do that for a couple of games. Well, coach, you know, I'll talk to you about it, but you got to find a way to get that done. And I think that's good. I don't think that's choking. If you say, hey, you know, I thought we were good enough to do the way we were getting A to B, but now we're not. Now we're going to try and reinvent the whole wheel. I don't think players respond well to that. That, to me, is choking. So that's what I see about that, and that's what I see about the effort part of it. It's easy to look like you're playing hard when you're running, and when you're running, you're getting that off stops, and nobody gets stops for 40 solid minutes. You know, the thing that, if you wanted to, just my criticism, and I think Chris would 1,000% agree with this. They sometimes, though, don't look like they understand time and score. Malik Williams will go the whole game without shooting a three. The game gets completely wobbly, and he decides, now's a good time for me to fire one up there. He's done that two games in a row. And he's taking a shot, and I'm thinking to myself, what the hell are you thinking? Why now? Why would you shoot that now? And
but then he hits it.
No, he didn't hit it. He didn't make one.
I thought it was...
No, Malik missed.
God, I'm thinking Dwayne. I'm sorry.
No, Malik, no. No, Dwayne, he's a small forward. He's got to shoot it. Malik's a five. That's a change of pace, open the defense up. Game is wobbly as hell, and he took one the other night, and he took one here, and I'm saying, why would you think that's the good time to take that shot? I mean, and they had the same deal against Miami, I guess it was. They stopped them like seven times in a row, and the game was like start the second half. That may be what Joe Crispin's talking about, but to me, I don't think it's effort. I really don't think it's effort. I think it's an awareness of you know, hey man, we were up 11 at the half. We just stopped them seven times in a row. This thing should be 20, and it wasn't. And that's what I think he's looking at. But I don't think it's a lack of emotion or effort. It's a lack of awareness of the game. And, you know, like they'll have a guy like if Jordan comes down and makes two in a row, I'll be damned if I'm on the floor with him. If on a third possession, he's not at least touching it, because A, if he gets himself in a position to shoot it, he's on fire. And B, they're going to, as soon as he catch it, run at him with everybody. And that's going to open things up for other people. But they don't have an awareness of that. And that's, I don't know, maybe that's what he's talking about, but the way it came across was as if they're like indifferent, and I don't think so. They are striving to be consistent the way John Wooden talked about, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they have to have an awareness of game and time and score, and I think they can do a better job of that, and I think they're going to have to, because they're not going to – there's not going to be a lot – that's the other thing. Just enjoy the journey. There's not going to be a lot of blowouts in this league, including for the games Louisville's in. You know, it is what it's going to be. There's not a lot of separation among the teams in here. And so you get a win on the road, enjoy it especially, and don't start trying to slice holes in it. I mean, you can, but I just don't understand why you do that. I really don't. Other than, as I said, there's still some residual pissed offness going on the Kentucky game. There's no other way of getting around it. Anyway. Ah, yes. The Cards palindrome the Panthers the first time. Lucas Allback wrote about that. God bless him. Very nice. Yeah. 64-46, the palindrome score. Big fan of that. They love to have that kind of margin in this game. But I'm saying I don't expect it just because they beat them. If they do, great. But I wouldn't expect that. You take a look at the closeness of these teams. Take a look at – I mean, this to me was astounding. I was in a restaurant and I was watching as we were having our brunch for yesterday, And
was this when you had all the coffee?
Yes. And I was dumbfounded that Purdue held Michigan State to 42 points. Purdue beat Michigan State by 29 yesterday. Purdue won 71-42. This was right after we got through saying, well, Michigan State had some problems. You know, Cassius Winston had a death in the family and early, and he looked like he was, and understandably, sure, you would be distracted, but he looked like he was smiling again. They were playing great, and they came out and shot 35%, 2 of 16 behind the three-point line, and scored 42 points. Did Izzo take stupid pills over the weekend? That's the only thing I can think, because they were pretty smart before that. Good Lord, they look pretty smart. They were on a roll. So, but that's the kind of year it's going to be. And you can lament it, but I would suggest be entertained by it, because you're going to have some really competitive games, and you're going to be, if you're a Louisville fan or a Kentucky fan for that matter, one of the teams that has a real chance to make a deep run into March. It's not a lock. There's no 39-0 teams in this bunch. Sorry. There's not. There's just not. But the fact of the matter is, you look at it in your own landscape. And right now, the ACC, while not great, is still very good. And Louisville clearly is one of the three best teams in the league. Doesn't mean they're going to win by 30. It's just not like that. Will you see some blowout game? Sure you will. I mean, Michigan State, I thought that might have been a blowout. I thought Michigan State might have blown them out. They got beat by 29. So it's going to happen. And when it happens, if you're ready to just lose your mind, you're going to frustrate yourself an awful lot, is all I'm suggesting. We got to pay bills. I'm happy to tell you that today I'm back on it, my friend. I don't know what you're doing. Had a couple apples. That's been my day this morning, and I'm feeling good. Took my supplements. Back on Vitality, Wellness, and Weight Loss. It is
meeting our boy Sterling this week.
Yeah, we're going to meet him, and we should, because I'll tell you the truth. I don't feel nearly as healthy as I did when I was on it. It's tailor-made to you. It's tailor-made to your – they do a scan. You put your hand on this little monitor, and within 20 minutes it tells you the makeup of your body and what you need in terms of nutrients and supplements and minerals, and they give you the supplements for that. And believe me, you'll feel it right away. And you eat real food, not – pretend manufactured little box food. Oh, look, I can eat meatloaf. And you look at it, and it's the size of a thimble. No, they show you how to eat. They tell you why you're doing what you're doing, why it works, and they tailor it to you, and you get to eat really, really good food. I've learned so many great recipes from this, and I'm looking forward to being back on it because, to be honest with you, I lost a lot of weight on it. I got off it, put some of it back, but more importantly, I just know I'm not as healthy. I want
but
to
not
get back.
All of it.
No,
but,
not all.
Not at all.
But I want to get back to being – when I go to the cardiologist and have them say, hey, what your blood pressure is way down, which it was, 110 over 65. I hadn't been that way probably in 30 years. That's not an exaggeration. And that nothing else changed in my life except doing this program. So you'll be healthier. Be nice. You look thinner. You look better. Everybody enjoys that. But as importantly, more importantly, you'll be healthier, and that's the bottom line. Didn't you say New York Mike called, by the way? Did I miss him completely? What was that all about?
Oh, yeah, he called. I meant to say this during the midday rush, too. But
Let me tell everybody, finish it up. Vitality, Wellness, and Weight Loss, it's the single biggest New Year's resolution people make, so why not do it with the single best program I've ever been around? It works, and others will work, I'll tell you the truth, but they aren't nearly as healthy or pleasant as this one is. This one is an absolute, as crazy, I've never thought I'd say that, an absolute pleasure to be involved in. Who finds it pleasurable to be on a weight loss program? This one you do, because it's not about wellness. It's not about weight loss. It's about wellness. But trust me, that weight comes flying off incredibly fast, and you're doing it in a way that will last in the big picture when you stay with it, and I intend this time to stay with it and go forward, because it's a great, great program. Check them out. Two locations, one in Southern Indiana, one right off Bardstown Road here in Louisville. Vitality, Wellness, and Weight Loss. So go ahead. What'd you say New York Mike said?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So New York Mike, we have a college football
playoff
championship tonight.
Sure,
coverage starting 6:30 here on ESPN 680, 105.7. And then I believe it's going to pick up over on 93.9 The Ville after the Jeff Walls show. That's right. So, they'll pick that up over at 8 p.m. So 8 p.m. it'll be on all sticks, 680, 105.7 as well as 93.9 The Bell. But New York Mike called in, wanted to say that he's been 4-for-4 over there in Clarksville.
Nice.
At the OTB in the book. And he wanted to give a shout out to some of the guys over there. They listen every day. The Mint Man, Andre, Tony. So shout out to all those guys. And he also just wanted to pass along his official pick. He took LSU laying, I think, 5.5.
It's 5.5. Is it 5? I thought it was 6.
Well,
it might have gone down a half.
Yeah. Yeah. When he got it, he said it was 5.5. He said, but whatever you can get it. He said, take it. Take LSU laying the points.
Very nice.
This is the official New York Mike pick of the day. And hello to everybody over
I at just
the
got OTV. A text. Thank you, whoever sent me this. I will pass it on to you. You'll thank me. Go to Brett. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I thought this is what you were talking about.
Go to Brett McMurphy's Twitter. Kickoff is less than 7 hours away. You'll thank me. I do thank you, sir. And I won't ruin it for others who are going to be wildly entertained at that picture. Yikes. Also, he gives the heads up, in case you forgot or tried to forget, the Pac-12 officiating crew working tonight's championship game. Oh, they are already. There are people screaming at him. I'm about missing a call. Unbelievable. By the way,
hello. Petty Ice just went, oh, they're not very good.
Yeah.
When you use profanity.
Do you follow God, the tweet of God on Twitter?
I love that. Do you follow Satan, too? He's pretty funny as well.
Laugh out loud funny. Very, very funny. Very funny indeed. All right. Who am I talking to? Taz here? Taz? Hello, Taz. What's up? Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Oh, Bob. There's going to be a firestorm hit the airways shortly.
Okay.
U of L football is instituting a new parking policy out at the stadium. I got my email today.
Okay.
No longer will you be guaranteed to be with your people that you tailgate with unless you all arrive at the same time. They are doing away with the spots where that are numbered, and they are going to do what's called speed parking. As you come in, you will be directed to the parking spot that you are going to, and they will be parking it like you were going to Disney World or something. If I'm a half hour behind my group, I might be 6 blocks away, who knows, rather than the system they're doing now. You know, when they first opened the stadium, it was first come, first serve, and then the big donors were complaining because they were getting there 15 minutes before the game started, and they had to park all the way in the back. So they reversed it and gave everybody a guaranteed spot. Now they're taking it away, which is probably the stupidest idea whoever has come up with in the entirety out there. And let me say my other point. I tried to call you last week about the people that were getting on Coach Mack and the basketball team, the, quote, donors. My gut feeling is because football was so successful, those that did not like the hiring of the new AD because of what happened, could not vent any frustration or bring anything up because apparently he made a good hire. Now they are venting, trying to get in there saying, now look at this. He didn't hire a good one this time. He didn't go, you know, where he should have gone to pick up who we think he should have had. So those are 2 points I want to make. But the one I'm really upset about is the parking. And I've been a season ticket holder 25 years. I've got 4 tickets, and I let them know I'm going to really think about whether I'm going to renew my tickets.
All right. Well, that's your prerogative as a customer. Thanks very much. We got texters saying, how old is this? This is like the Joe Flacco was traded thing, somebody said, because they've already talked about it. I'm not defending it. I don't know anything from anything, but I understand that Louisville's no longer going to have use of the Platinum Tee Lot on the corner of Floyd Street and Central Avenue, and that's forced the university to reshuffle their parking plans. Reserve parking spaces will only be available in the Platinum S and Bronze Lot. So if that's enough to make you cancel your tickets, that's your prerogative as a ticket holder, I guess. By the way, I found another team that has the leave early syndrome. I did not know it. Joe D'Ambrosio.
The Irish?
No, Joe D'Ambrosio, who is, of course, was for a long time the voice of the UConn Huskies, played Wichita State yesterday in a double overtime thriller. And he's tweeting out, I wonder how all those, well, less than flattering terms, who left at the five-minute mark are feeling about missing this. This is one of the best games I've ever seen, and they've all left. It's unbelievable. It was just So I we're not the only ones, I guess, here. But I do wonder about that. I mean, but as I said, I want to incorporate that into my whole life. I want to go leave the movie with, you know, 20 minutes left in the movie and go to the restaurant and leave before. Well, that's a good time to do it then, because you leave before they bring the bill. Just take off.
Please don't do that. As someone in the service industry, we really don't like
pull out from the gas. Oh, pull out. I'm sure they cut that.
I was hoping I didn't step on that. We've had some gems today.
Pull out of the gas station before you take the pump out. It's still pumping, but that's okay. Just take off. I've done that, by the way, which is...
Ooh, that is unsafe.
Well, not only is it not safe, they were very nice to me because it's very expensive. It's not like they can just put the... You have to call a company in. You know, if you keep the thing in your gas tank and, like, you go inside and buy coffee or something and the thing is automatically shut off, but the hose is still in your gas tank, when you pull out of the gas station, it doesn't always fly out of the gas tank. It sometimes sticks in the gas tank, and so you pull the hose off of the pump. And
When did you do this?
Oh, I was on a basketball trip. It was an ESPN trip somewhere. I think it was in Pittsburgh. There's an airport right at the air. There's a gas station right in the airport of Pittsburgh. Pulled the hose out, turned around, and I, like an idiot, I went back. I thought you could just like screw it back in. And the guy was like, no, you can't do that. We got to call a company in. And I found out later they could make you pay for it. But she was a woman. She didn't.
Well, that was nice of her.
Yes, extremely, because I understand it's very expensive. Here's the final call? Okay, who's the announcer? Is this Connecticut's? Or if it's Connecticut's, it's Mike Crispino. If it's Wichita's,
it's Wichita State.
Sally Jablonski.
Gilbert into the front court, dribbles right, hands it off, Vitale, contested three, no good, in and out, Carlton rebounds, but he can't get it back out to a three-point shooter, and the Shockers win in double overtime.
That didn't sound like he was very excited about that. So yeah, maybe that really was the UConn, but that wasn't Mike Crispino, I don't think. Huh.
No, that was the call from KEYN. That's the Shockers. That's
the
Shockers.
Why is he so blasé about it?
Maybe he's tired. I mean, that was double overtime. A little tuckered out, maybe.
By the way, to the text earlier, this guy said, wow, did you go off on a tangent today? Somebody texted to put that on Twitter. I don't think it was a tangent. It was a bit ranty, but a tangent means we're talking about something that nobody's talking about.
No, this we have not been tangenty at all.
Exactly. This has been way too much sports radio. In fact, Drew and Andy are loving it.
I got a story. Did you see this story? I sent it to Locke. I'm not really sure we went full in on it because he was talking a lot of sports too. Had some good sound, and I had to go poop, so I left for a little while. But I passed this along to him, talking about a real American hero. But it's about Diego the Galapagos giant tortoise. He's estimated to be about 130 years old, and he's returning home after having so much sex that he saved his species. So they pulled they took him from the zoo, I think, and
they asked him to go around the world and repopulate the world of what are these?
It's a certain species of, it's basically a Galapagos giant tortoise.
Sure.
One of those the big turtles. And I don't know what the subspecies is called, but yeah. So I guess they were endangered. They took old Diego. And Diego did the car wash and did the deed enough to save his species. So he's basically now the Genghis Khan of Galapagos tortoises, because I'm assuming that like a third of all Galapagos tortoises, if they do the ancestry thing, are going to be traced to Diego.
Hey, speaking of which, you never gave us the thing you bought for us for Christmas to do our ancestry thing. Where the hell is it?
I gave it to you guys. I don't know where it is, though. Is it in my room? No.
It is. We'll never see it again.
You guys better use that thing. That was expensive.
I want it, but I don't know where it is. So he saved the species, huh? So is that
I'm trying to pull up the story, but of course technology is like, nah, blank you. You've had the story up the whole day, but now when you actually need it,
you can go
spit in your hat. Actually, maybe my phone's mad at me for throwing it across the room, which I can understand.
Hey,
that.
People are asking, did Tim Solomon blow us off? Is he mad at us? Is that the deal? Because the guy said
he was not able to join today. I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing, though. You guys might need a little
I'm not space. Mad at him. I was never mad at him. It was never personal. It was an argument. It was fun. But I also think that I have so much respect for him as a writer. I do. I thought that was not him at his best. I thought it was – I'm surprised that he will have to respectfully disagree. I didn't think it was remotely newsworthy. The scientific name is Torticus hornicus. Funny. That was funny. That's a joke.
That was good. That's funny.
That's not really what it's called. No. But it was funny.
I'm really pissed off that my phone's not working. But I think I got it back working. I needed to turn on the Wi-Fi. I was using my data.
Well, that explains it.
Yeah, there we go.
You're probably out of data.
No, I'm unlimited, son.
Today is National Rubber Ducky Day. Is that true?
Oh, my God. Is it really?
That's what the guy says. I don't know if you're making it up. Look it up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because you gave us a rubber duck last night. Although I was a little bit mad. You let the little kid pick the one he wanted. She just gave me one. She assigned me one.
Well, I'm a little pissed off that, you know, he took the one he did. That's Banksy. That's from our first date.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
well, that wasn't from the thing last night?
No, that wasn't from the plethora of ducks.
Oh, you're going to have a problem. You're going to be like me, and she's going to be like, Mom, you're going to be all sentimental and crap, and she's going to be giving stuff away.
No, but the lady friend was a little bummed, too, so now we have to figure out a way to steal the duck back and leave, but you know, and leave a duck for the young toddler.
Why didn't she just walk up and hand him one?
Because he was a little kid. He wanted that duck. You don't want to take a duck from a kid knowingly.
Today is National Rubber Ducky Day. According to the Sesame Street calendar, Rubber Ducky's birthday is January 13th. So today, they celebrate National Rubber Ducky Day.
That's awesome.
Congratulations to Mr. Duck and all of you who are out there, you duckers who are listening to the program. We wish you nothing but the best. And not only that, the parents of these rubber ducks, the father duckers and the mother duckers, we wish them a very happy holiday as well. We'll come back. ESPN 680-1057.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.